The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You know who you are? You're Mike Trout, worthless. What has Mike Trout done in his career? Tell me something.
He's one of the greatest individual
playoff game. Have you ever played in a playoff game?
He has played in several.
But you know this. Baseball is
so overrated.
The best baseball player of all time never won a ring.
These are two of the greatest baseball players to ever live. Stars aligning for the dream matchup for the ages here in the 9. 2-1. 2-2.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You are the Mike Trout of hot dogs.
So I feel great. Putting that in my Twitter bio.
On the side of the truck.
Otani's ready. Trout's ready.
I feel great.
3-2.
I feel great.
He struck him out.
Oh, company. You idiot.
Otani strikes out Trout, and Japan's back on top of the baseball world.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
I don't know how he does it.
Hey, Mike Trout, you just gave someone salmonella, you idiot.
Chewy was
nice
right.
Game.
Holy Chewy was right.
You don't know how who does it.
You.
What did I do?
What do you mean, what did you do?
He sucks. He got embarrassed.
I agree, he did.
Yeah, but you decided to randomly go after Mike Trout yesterday. You call Ashton the Mike Trout of hot dogs, which he takes as a compliment because, well, let's face it, it is. However, you mean it as an insult, and then Trout has the game that he does last night in the World Baseball Classic finale against the Japan squad,
you know,
who ended up winning the World Baseball Classic.
At times, I'm not going to lie, I kind of feel like Bruce Almighty sometimes.
God.
Ash? I mean, that's perfect timing. You were saying the guy's great and hot dogs
great.
And burgers and stuff, and he gagged.
Got a couple of 100-mile-an-hour fastballs right down the middle.
Yep.
Just couldn't hit him.
Nope.
And a slider. Just couldn't touch it.
That slider was nasty.
God. That was like the matchup of all matchups that everyone wanted to see. It was the perfect. It was incredible.
It's.
Come on. If you're getting paid $500 million, you should hit every flipping time up at the plate. Should never strike out.
I don't know if Otani was kind of throwing. I mean, Otani's probably going to get a billion.
I mean, he threw 102. And he was hitting dingers.
Go to the batting cage. Set the thing at 102. So hard about that. I mean, come on.
Set the thing at 102.
Right?
He's not wrong.
I mean, I still caught the ball when Ty Detmer threw it to me as opposed to Brett, and it's coming a lot slower. I mean, what are we doing here? God, are my expectations way too high?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For Ashton or Mike Trout?
Yes.
Why not both?
All right. That was perfect. I laugh so hard
when
I heard that.
Like, that's the dream scenario, like, never actually happens in sports, right?
No.
Like, the dream scenario where you go, oh, you actually get this game, or you could get this game, oh, yeah, in the postseason. And here in the World Baseball Classic, again, I know nobody cares, but you actually get Shohei Ohtani versus Mike Trout with the game on the line, with the tournament on the line. Final out of the World Baseball Classic, two of the best baseball players who happen to be teammates, so we have not seen that showdown, and it turns out to be fantastic. Works it to a full count, 3-2 slider, swing and a miss.
It was amazing.
But let me ask you this.
There's an electric factory.
Do good players get elevated because they're on really bad teams?
It can happen, I think, in other sports. In baseball, not really. Because in baseball, it still boils down. And this is why when you made the point yesterday of, well, Trout's never won anything. Like, baseball ultimately comes down to a one-on-one matchup. It's you versus the pitcher. So
yes.
If you still put up good, if you put up good numbers on a bad team, you're still going to put up good numbers probably elsewhere. Because you're still facing that same pitching. Whereas in like basketball, if you're a really good player but it's a bad team, it's like, well, somebody's got to score. Somebody's got to put up those shots.
Was that Michael Redd?
A little bit, but he was a good enough efficient scorer where I think he could have fit in. Maybe more like Brandon Jennings, maybe more...
Well, we know it was Sam Congato.
Stephon Marbury. Right. Sam Congato, because somebody had to get those touches.
Someone.
Right? Somebody had to get those touches.
Yeah.
And it could be the same thing on like a bad football team, like a receiver who puts up a bunch of numbers, but you have nobody else. It's like, well, football, I think you can kind of go more eye test, because there'd be years where Larry Fitzgerald did not put up numbers because his quarterbacks were John Skelton. You know, like it's just, but everybody still knew he was good. But in baseball, it's, it ultimately becomes me versus the pitcher, pitcher versus hitter, and it just kind of boils down to that.
Okay. So I'm a little too hard on Mike Trout.
I mean, I'm putting it on the poll with context that yesterday you said that Mike Trout was overrated because he's never won anything, so I'm asking people if you were proven right.
I don't know. It's
did
like...
not win the World Baseball Classic either. Captain America.
No. It'd be like putting, what, Mahomes on, what's a bad team?
Packers.
Well, all right, you mentioned that. So yesterday when we had Jason Wilde on, you asked him a question, and the way you asked the question we'll probably also make fun of, but there is an important end to this question. Here's what you had to say to Mr. Wilde yesterday.
Jason, Caesars is going to call you later in the day today, and assuming that the Packers do nothing, they get rid of Rodgers, they don't bring in a receiver of any ilk or any player, Caesar wants you to set the under-over in wins and losses, or actually wins, for this upcoming season. What is it?
Now, this is a good question that I am excited to steal when Gabe is with me on Wilde and Tausch. 5.5.
That's about where I'm at.
Yeah.
I said between 5 and 6.
Okay, so first of all, do you actually think, like, Julius Caesar is in there? He's the one setting all the lines inside Caesar's sportsbook? That's how this happens?
Caesar's ghost, yes.
Caesar wants to know what you would pick as the over-under?
Oh.
That's the way you decided to ask this yesterday?
Yeah, and
Caesar himself?
I thought about it. I really think I'm going with the under. I mean, there's no receivers left to bring in. They're not going to trade for one. So your receivers are Watson, Dobbs, Samori Torrey, Bo Medley. Who's Bo?
Bo Melton.
And
who's Bo is also a fair question.
Yeah.
Who's the other guy?
I don't remember, honestly.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
That's your receivers. And maybe...
Cotton. The guy's last name was Cotton.
Bo Cotton?
Austin? No. Justin? Doesn't matter.
How are they going to win?
Anytime I hear the name Cotton, I think of dodgeball.
How are they going to win 6 games?
So that's a great question. So we want to put it out to you. This is going to be our next Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll at Jen, Gabe, Chewy on Twitter.
Jeff Cotton.
That's the guy's name. Makes me feel so much better.
Yeah, they're not winning 6 games with that.
Over under, if we set the line at 5, if Packers wins at 5.5, are you taking the over or are you taking the under? 800-990-3776.
What are you taking? You know who I feel bad for?
Who?
Aaron Jones.
Well, so that's the thing. Like, he is... He's
sorry.
They have 2 tight ends under contract. They have apparently 5 wide receivers. I don't know when they signed Jeff Cotton to a deal. But apparently he's on the roster. I was familiar with the Bo Melton portion of the roster, but not the Jeff Cotton portion. They have 2 tight ends who have little to no... Well, I guess Josiah DeGuara has...
None. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say little to no experience. Josiah DeGuara has experience. It's not good experience, but he's been in the league for 3 years. But other than that, you've got 3 guys on their second-year deals. Bo Melton, I don't know how long Bo Melton's been in the league, but if I had to set over-under on the number of catches in his career, I'm taking under 10. I have no idea who Jeff Cotton is. Smitty was...
A guy.
I don't want to call him a disappointment because...
He's young.
We probably put too many expectations on a guy who we didn't know anything about. But who's catching passes? Like, we're just seriously going to roll out? I mean, who's running? Who's coming out of the slot? Torre?
So when
like, their top three receivers are all three from, and they're just all going to continue to grow?
So when the rankings came out last year, and I can't remember if it was before the draft or after, and they had signed Sammy Watkins, they had Cobb, and they had Lazard, I believe they were the 29th ranked skilled position in the league.
Yeah, something like that.
This has to be 34 out of 32. No, really? Am I right?
It's not great. All right? It's not great.
And there's no one left.
No, not really.
I mean, outside of the draft, my guess is they probably take a tight end with the first pick.
I stand corrected. They do have four tight ends. God, does this Packers website just suck? What is going on? They do have four tight ends under contract. We know Tyler Davis. We know Josiah DeGuara. Can you guess any of the names of the two other guys that they have on their roster that are tight ends?
Were they on the roster last year?
Not to my knowledge.
No idea.
So you have Austin Allen out of Nebraska.
Okay.
And Nick Gugemos.
Don't look at me. I don't know.
Gugemos out of the University of St. Thomas.
I like his last name, though. It's kind of fun.
St. Thomas is in Minnesota, St.
Yeah,
Thomas?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's Division
All
One.
All right.
Now. All Division
right.
One up there.
We got a
now.
Root for now. There's our Sam Congato. No, it's bad. It's bad.
This current, and like you said, it's not going to get any better anytime soon. Like right now, they're, and it's not a bad plan.
No.
Right? It's. Maybe it's a bad plan. I don't know.
I might have added a receiver.
You have to get a veteran in there, right? Like, you have to go out there and sign another. I mean, even if you just bring back Randall Cobb.
Well, Cobb's not coming back.
He's probably going to the Jets. I understand that. But you have to bring back a Cobb or a Sammy Watkins just to have somebody in there.
Where Sammy Watkins is with Baltimore, though.
Correct. I'm just saying that type of player. Like an older player who's not going to cost you that much. That's all I'm saying. Because I don't think you can just roll with second-year players and undrafted rookie free agents. And maybe you draft a receiver or a tight end or whatever, but now you just have more rookies on the roster and you don't have any sort of...
Maybe that's the plan.
Veteran wide receiver.
I don't know. Maybe
like,
that's
the
plan.
That is the hardest of hard reboots, is it not? In terms of what that position... I guess I knew it, but maybe I just didn't want to address it. Of whatever the hell is going on in the wide receiver and tight end rooms, it's bad.
No, it is bad. And then throw in the backup quarterback. They don't have one.
Correct.
Yeah.
I don't know what they do. I don't know what they do.
Are people braced for this? Are they braced? Are they braced for this?
I don't think so. Because when I filled in on Willie and Tausch this week, there was a certain portion of the fan base that is still celebrating the fact that Aaron Rodgers is gone. And it's just like, we'll be fine. As long as we just don't want to... Like, this isn't fine,
no,
guys.
It's not.
This is a bad roster.
Yeah, this is bottom of the barrel.
So we're setting it 5.5.
One win? I'm just saying brace. I'm saying brace.
If it's one win, Chew, if it's one win, they have to fire everyone. Have to.
No, I agree.
Like, and I don't care that Mark Murphy only has one more regular season after that. If you have one win as an organization in a season, you have to clean house.
But we said this.
Because you said.
I remember saying this last year, Gabe, because
yep.
Tausch was battling with Homer,
yep,
and Tausch was like 13-3 is a possibility.
Yeah.
And we sat there and said, there's no way in hell they're going 13-3. There's a better chance of them going 8-9
yep,
than there is 13-3. Well, yes. Lo and behold, they go 18-3.
Yeah.
So now we're talking five wins.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way you could see one win?
Yeah, oh, I can definitely see that. So my point here, though, is, Chu, because you have said this, that you had a roster in 1992. Yes, you had veterans. You guys had Ed West, Sterling Sharp.
Yes.
You know, you had some guys. There was certainly talent on that roster. But you said it wasn't a very good roster, very young roster. But Mike Holmgren and the coaching staff that he put together, they were good enough to get you guys to 9 wins. And I'm not saying that, you know, LaFleur is Holmgren and is going to navigate a 9-8 season that maybe gets them a wild card. But I'm saying if that statement is true, that coaches can account for that much on a young roster, if you win one game, everybody's got to go.
But if Magic doesn't get hurt, and I know a lot of people don't remember this, Magic gets hurt in Tampa Bay, second game of the year.
Brett completes pass to himself.
And yeah, enter Brett Favre. If Magic never gets hurt, I wonder what we would have went. We wouldn't have got to 9, I can tell you that. We wouldn't have got to 9 wins. 6? So they went 4-12.
Yeah. When Holmgren came in.
6 or 7.
Okay.
Right? Because there was Sterling, there was Jackie Harris, Vinny Workman, who was a guy. Very average offensive line. Defense was not a lot of talent over there.
T-Buck.
T-Buck. Yeah. Well, that accounted for a lot of losses. Yeah. I don't know.
So,
I don't feel good, though.
It's hard to feel good. 800-990-3776 is the number to get into the show. If we set it at 5.5, are you taking the over? Are you taking the under? We'll take your calls. We'll take your texts. You can also vote online at Jen Gabe Chewy on Twitter. We hear from you coming up next.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Ryan and McGonigal weighing in. Hey, if you find something that sucks for 25 years, you hold on to that.
Yeah, that is a very good point.
Because usually the sucking only happens before you get married, and then the sucking just stops.
We're going to get fired.
Yeah. On 94.5 ESPN.
People were not happy with me. Just not happy with me for asking this question.
What happened?
I don't know. This guy from the 262. You guys are crazy. Never let Gabe drive the bus. Give them a chance. Over for sure. That's great. Text out of the 262. Why do you believe in this team? Like, just look this roster up and down and let me know why you think. Like, Austin just has some wishful thinking. Austin, the 414. Maybe the defense could win them a couple of games. And the reason why I inflected at the end is because he did that with a question mark.
Keep searching.
Maybe the defense can win them some games.
I mean, they're going to be 32nd, hands down. Last year, 29th with Lazard, Sammy Watkins, who in hindsight was a horrible decision. I mean, I understand people are putting a lot of eggs in their basket with Watson and Dobbs, but there is a possibility of a sophomore slump.
Sure.
You've heard of that.
I mean, the odds of both of them developing into studs is low. One of them, yeah, sure. You can talk me into both.
Yeah.
Both seems unlikely. Having two guys in the same draft on the same team just...
So if they were the 17th ranked offense when it came to points last year with Aaron Rodgers and all those other guys that have left, the hell are you looking at this year? I mean, be realistic. Don't be stupid, okay? Take the rose-colored glasses off and then look at trends in the NFL. And then I don't want to beat them up. This isn't a bad... This is what goes along with getting rid of a Hall of Fame quarterback.
100%.
You have to start at the bottom. But to sit there and say, well, 8-9 wins is a possibility, go smoke some more crack with your grandmother because that ain't happening.
Mitch in Burlington chimes in on the text line, 800-990-3776. If Jordan Love is a Dak/Cousins caliber quarterback, would you agree that 9 to 11 wins is a likely outcome?
My God.
Here's the problem, though. And I rail on Kirk Cousins.
You like that?
like Jordan Love, I don't think is going to immediately be that. Like there's going to be growing pains. And I base this off of Aaron Rodgers being as good as he is and was, took a team that was 13-3 the year before, made an appearance in the NFC Championship game, had a pretty solid year, 28 touchdowns, 4,000 yards, pretty solid numbers for a first-year starter, and the Packers went 6-10 that year. In Aaron Rodgers' first year as the starting quarterback, with a much better roster than what the Packers currently have as we sit here in March of 2023, the Packers went 6-10. And that's why I think 5.5 is such a good number, because that's kind of, okay, plus you have the extra game to potentially get to a number that Aaron Rodgers did. But the division's getting better. The Bears continue to make
Detroit's
moves.
Detroit's making
get them
moves.
Better. Detroit beat you twice last year.
Yes.
And the Minnesota Vikings won the division going away. Yes, the Packers kicked the crap out of them in the second to last game of the regular season, but Minnesota still has weapons that can scare you.
It's the worst roster in the North.
As of right now, yes.
Yes.
As of right now,
yes. I mean,
yes.
Minnesota still has Jefferson and Cook, right? They lose Thielen.
Yep.
Who's their tight end? They traded for Hockenson.
Oh, yeah, oh, that, yeah that's
what,
right. They have Hockenson
here.
That's right. They traded for
Minnesota, Detroit. Right?
Yeah.
You've got kid who was hurt, who barely played this year.
Jameson Williams. They have Amon-Ra St. Brown. They have, and yes, they lost Jamal Williams, but Williams was kind of their two back, their bruising back.
Yeah.
DeAndre Swift is their running back.
And then the Bears.
Then they've got some draft capital from that Hockenson trade.
And then the Bears. Komet, who I like at tight end. Mm-hmm. He's a nice player. They get the kid, DJ Moore from Carolina,
yep.
Who's a hell of a receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Who's their other receiver?
So Darnell Mooney had a really good year last year,
yeah.
A pretty good year for them last year, and they also traded for Chase Claypool. Like, if Mooney ends
why
up being
why
their
do people
three,
take
that's
it
a pretty
as
good
a
receiving
slight
core.
When we do stuff like this?
I don't know.
Why do you feel like we're slamming your team? We're just being realistic, like, and telling you what they're thinking. This is what the game plan is.
I want to give them a chance. I 100%, and it's not like I'm not going to watch the games, but when you look at this roster right now, and this is why I have said on this show, it's why I said it on Wilde and Tausch earlier this week, I am terrified of what comes next. And that's not to say that they won't build a Super Bowl contender. It's just scary. It's scary when you look at this roster and you just kind of have to have hope. Well, I hope this guy's good. I hope this guy turns out. I hope Joe Barry Carroll is a good defensive coordinator, despite giving us 6 years on a defensive coordinator resume that proves otherwise.
But that's the beauty of having this roster. If the guy stinks, and get rid of him, who cares? Playoffs aren't even in the picture now, okay? Their window was 2 years ago. It was the back end of 3 years.
Okay.
Their best chance is when they got the Smith brothers, right? Go to the NFC Championship game and get destroyed by
San Francisco.
By San Francisco, right?
Which
they come back. They come back and they look good, right? They're playing well. The one seed, probably the team highest favored to go to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And they crap down their leg against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, right? That's year two. What was year three?
They bounce back, get the one seed.
Yes. And then lose. That was your window, people. The NFL operates in three-year windows unless you have a Mahomes or someone who is uber special. Now, so teams like that have their quarterback in place just have to reload, retool.
Yep.
This is a full rebuild. All we're trying to say is, like, just prepare yourself. It's fine. Prepare yourself, but prepare yourself for 4 or 5 wins.
Actually,
we're not sitting here bashing your team. We're just saying it's going to be fine. We think it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
But there's going to be, you got to go.
There's going to be learning. There's a learning curve. There's going to be bumps on the road.
But don't try to sell me with 11 wins. Because you know what we do? Star 7.
What the hell, Star 7?
Delete.
Star 7's delete?
It used to be on the flip phone.
God, you guys are so...
What? So what? Salmonella boy.
I'm not Salmonella boy.
Are you the Mike Trout of the food trucks?
Yes.
And Mike Trout of hot dogs.
Mike Trout of hot dogs.
He's the producer of this program. You've got some interaction, some responses on Twitter.
Yes, we do. So we did put it on the poll. If we set the over-under at 5.5. So far, over 5.5, 85%. That's where we're at. Worse than 62%. Here's some of the reactions so far. Zach tweeting in saying this is a silly line. Mike B tweeting in, a lot of people aren't giving the Packers enough credit. They actually have a really good roster. Solid O-line. Defensively, almost everyone returning. They win at least 9, and I'll take all bets.
Everybody returning on a defense that was mediocre last year.
Yeah, good luck. 62%.
They were seven. What I believe they were like 17 almost across the board in every offensive and defensive category last year.
They ended up,
just the absolute definition of mediocre. And they lost. Look, I understand Dean Lowry's just a guy. I understand Jerron Reed's just a guy. But those were two of your three starters along the defensive line. Bye-bye. Rashawn Gary, he's not going to be starting the season healthy.
And we didn't set the number.
Jason did.
Who's dialed in up there, who knows the roster. We didn't set it. Jason did. 5.5.
Caesar
Jason's
himself.
Pretty smart. Caesar.
Caesar himself.
62 percenters.
It's worse than that.
Steve from Milwaukee says he's going to take the over. They can win games based on D and special teams. They missed Gary so much last year. Tell me what 40-year-old Rodgers would do, especially if you believe he plays better when angry, which he would not have been when back in Green Bay. Look, Rodgers went 8-9 last year. I think he's better than Love. I think the Packers think he's better than Love. That's why they started him last year. This is not a good roster. Why are you comparing rosters only mentioning offensive players? All right, let's talk about defense. You want to talk about defense? Let's talk about defense. Rashawn Gary, coming off of a mid-season ACL surgery. You think he's going to be exactly what you want him to be opens in September?
Who wants to get paid?
Correct.
Because he's creeping up on that time. So yes. If you think he's coming back early.
He wants to make sure he's going to be healthy. And by the way, should. Because you may only get one or two, he may only get one crack at the apple. One bite at the apple, excuse me. I was just combining metaphors there.
One crack at the apple.
I kind of like it.
I do too. You know, that's just like throwing an apple at the ground.
Has Vegas come out with their under-overs yet?
I don't know. We can certainly look that up. We can certainly look that up. But this, who on defense do you really love? I like Kenny Clark.
Yes.
He didn't have a good year last year.
No, he didn't.
I love Jaire Alexander. He was second team All-Pro last year. I don't know if he should have been, because watching every Packers game, there was inconsistencies. He was spectacular against Justin Jefferson. And if that's the Jaire we get, hell yeah. Sign me up for more of that.
My guess is Amos, there's a chance he's not coming back.
Well, he's not coming back. He's a free agent.
All right. He's not coming back. He got Savage, who they got roped into that deal, who got benched in the middle of the season.
Yep.
Whatever. Just, I'm at the point where I'm talk blue in the face, because we pretty much nailed last year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Good luck with that.
We'll continue to take your reaction, 800-990-3776. You can take a look at the poll as well on Jen Gabe Chewy. If we set the over-under at 5.5 for the Green Bay Packers, are you taking the over? Are you taking the under? Again, remember that the Packers went 6-10 with Aaron Rodgers in his first year on a roster that seemingly was better than what they currently have. The only place to get Lightbox lab-grown diamonds in Milwaukee, it's only at the Jewelry Center. New selection of Lightbox jewelry is now available. 1.5, 2-carat loose diamonds. If you're looking to gift some stud earrings, the Jewelry Center has options. 2, 3, 4-carat total weight Lightbox jewelry and their diamonds, ranging from $1,900 to $3,400. Look, this is the place to go. We're starting to hit the spring. Maybe you're thinking about getting that engagement ring. The Jewelry Center, the place to go. Dean with Dean and his team have a great variety, great selection. It's where I went to get my engagement ring for when I bought it for my wife. It's where I went to get my wedding band last summer for the wedding. They have you covered. They're going to point you in the right direction. They have a very friendly and knowledgeable staff that is always willing to help you out. So stop to the Jewelry Center, Brookfield, Greenfield, or in Burlington, or online, shoptjc.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Jen, has college football gotten a little sleazy where you can recruit?
A little?
No, I'm saying from the standpoint,
It used to be.
That was good.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Chewy, and I understand this is going to be a little bit more work for you, pal. But I don't know if we can just kind of reach out to the friends we have at Marquette University and see if we can, you know, rent out a lecture hall. But you may have to like teach a detoting class.
I detoted you very, very well. I thought I went too far during the season, but you're coming back. You get it now.
Yeah.
You get it.
So does Corey in Port Washington. I'm sold. We're going to suck. Thanks, guys.
That's fine, though.
Podcast title. I mean, you know, fair.
I'm sold. We're going to suck. Thanks, guys.
We're just trying to soften the blow.
Okay. Maybe we're being a little too harsh, but we just want everybody to be prepared of what the possibilities are out there.
It's not the end of the world. This is what has to happen with a rebuild, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And Ryan Maniguanigo points out on the talking text line, 800-990-3776. Getting rid of Rodgers hurts bringing in free agents. They don't want to play in Green Bay. Maybe. I mean, it's not like they were bringing in a ton of free agents that wanted to play with Rodgers to begin with.
It's not that they won't come in. You have to overpay them.
Sure. And you know what the issue is right now?
No money. Yeah.
No money.
Tough to overpay when, again, follow Ken Ingles. We had him on the show last week. If you missed the conversation we had, download it, Wisconsin On Demand, wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen back to some of the things that Ken Ingles had to say about the Packers cap situation and the Aaron Rodgers deal and all those different things. He does a great job of breaking it down. He's a CPA, understands all the money stuff. And if you follow him on Twitter, he breaks down a lot of this stuff. Like, the Packers have had some money to operate with, but once you start figuring in, well, once they trade Rodgers, that's going to be $9 million more there. Once they sign that draft class, the actual money that they have to operate is not a lot. And they have to get to a point where they're salary cap healthy to really infuse the roster, which is why they may take which is part of the reason they're probably going to take a step further back in 2023 than what they did in 2022. 800-990-3776. We go out to John in Tosa. John, you're on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Apparently, people are not happy with us this morning. I don't know where you fall, John, but welcome to the show.
Good morning. I think they're trying to suck on purpose, and here's the thought process here. They're holding out with the Jets because they want a first-round pick, whether that's this year or next year, which allows them to trade up next year. Not this year's draft, but next year's draft. Caleb Williams is the prize piece.
Okay.
And that quarterback class, not this draft class, but next year's draft class, is supposed to be fantastic. They know Jordan Love's not the answer. And that's why they're holding out so hard for this draft capital, because they want extra picks. They can move around. And they're going to be, what, 3-14, 4-14, but that might not be good enough to get the number one pick. You got to be able to move around. You don't have really any assets on your roster that you can trade around to move up, so you're gonna need picks. And I honestly think that they know Jordan Love's not the answer, and they're just like, okay, but what else are we gonna do? We're not gonna keep Rodgers around, because then you'll be stuck in that 13-14 pick range, and that's not good enough to get you a franchise quarterback. I think Caleb Williams is the goal. That's all I'm gonna say. Have a good one, guys.
That's a good call. I think they're gonna give Love a year to prove himself.
Oh, 100%. And if and there are some texters that have said this, and I 100% agree with. 2023, I think Homer's made this point as well. 2023 is all about Jordan Love. Just like 2008 was all about Aaron Rodgers. It was fine that the Packers went 6-10 in 2008 because you knew you had something then in Aaron Rodgers. You knew.
Mm-hmm.
And if they go 5-12 this year or end up with 6 wins, but Jordan Love is good, like, then it's totally worth it.
I think that's honestly the point that some fans are missing with the way that we're reacting to all this is like, our commentary is not necessarily about Jordan Love. It's about everything else around him. Like, who's he throwing to? That's where this all started. Who the hell is Jordan Love throwing to?
Yeah, and I love the potential of Christian Watson. I love the potential of Romeo Doubs. But the beauty of what the Packers used to do under Ted Thompson was you'd never had to place that much pressure on first or second year guys. They could develop at their own pace. Yes, they could pop off for a game here or there, and you could see that potential, but then they could disappear because you had other guys. Like when Ted Thompson started doing his thing of drafting receivers in the second round, you had Donald Driver when you drafted Greg Jennings.
Yeah, he nailed a ton of them.
You had James Jones. You had Jordan. You know, when they drafted Randall Cobb in 2011, you're going, why are they drafting a receiver in the second round? And he just continued to backfill that position. So if Greg Jennings wanted to go sign a massive contract with the Vikings, well, we're fine. We're going to slide this guy in. When it was time for James Jones to move on, oh, okay, now it's time for Davante Adams to step in this role. They continuously backfilled and never put pressure on second-year guys to go, hey, sink or swim, guys. We're throwing you in the deep end.
He has to hit the draft like he did last year. He hit the draft because ideally, could you imagine if Amari Rodgers panned out?
Mm-hmm.
Then it would take pressure off of Watson and Doubs not to be the guys this coming year, which they're not ready. Very few people are ready in their second year to be the man at the receiver position.
And most of those
guys,
you
hit him, it takes pressure off.
Most of those guys went to major colleges.
Yes,
you
correct.
Know, not North Dakota State and Nevada.
Damn, I'm pretty sure I said that. Where's the credit on that one?
Okay, look.
Chewy
hey,
was
easy,
right.
Easy.
Holy.
He scares me.
Chewy was right.
What are you doing fishing for credit? We gave you credit on Mike Trout this morning. We give you credit at
by the way, nice
least
one.
Two
no,
or three
just,
times
just,
a day.
I just, I thought I detoted pretty much 80% of the people out there, but I clearly haven't.
Oh, no, you're well, no,
I clearly
no,
haven't.
You've detoted me, and that's about it. And maybe Corey. Who texted in earlier saying,
but
okay,
he's
I got
a, yeah, so he nails this draft. He nailed last year. That's the quickest way to get out of
without
the
a doubt.
Rebuild.
Without
you know?
A doubt.
And then you start, when you get cap healthy, then you sprinkle. You don't need superstars. You just need a good core of good players. Look, Aaron Jones is not going to be here for the ride, okay? He's not. They're not going to the Super Bowl in the next 2 years. Maybe in 3 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why I get, like, the Bakhtiari thing boggles me. It's like, if you have every intention of him being gone because he has a $40 million cap hit next year, why the hell is he here?
Well, because you're also going to have to absorb some dead cap to let him go next
that's
year.
That's fine. You know, let's hit bottom, and then we can start climbing out of the hole.
But no, what I'm saying, Chew, is that I think that furthers your point. Why not just take the dead cap hit, and unless you had too much dead cap money already that you were absorbing this year, so you decided to try to level it off the best you could. But this, the same thing with Aaron Jones. I don't know how much longer Aaron Jones is going to be here. They did a one-year restructure to keep him around.
Can I ask
but
a
the
question?
Better question is, why does Aaron Jones want to be here?
Having been one of the best toads in Wisconsin for so long before you got detoted,
congrats, Gabe.
Was there any consequence to your, they're going 17-0 this year?
No.
Oh, they're going 17-0 this year?
No.
Oh, they're going 17-0 this year?
I mean,
you never look at yourself and go, maybe I'm an idiot.
Not for this.
I mean, is there any consequence?
I mean, there's heartbreak and disappointment when the season comes to an end. But then you use the entire offseason to, you know, build up the toad battery, and when early September hits, you're ready to hit the ground. Okay. Hit the ground running.
I've never been hopping, a toad. Actually. You hit the ground hopping.
Have you ever been a toad? About anything?
Yeah, White Sox, 100%.
You're an idiot.
White Sox and, like, U.S. soccer.
But you're not this year. You're a realist this year, right?
I've been a realist. However, come next Thursday, when I'm watching the White Sox in Houston taking on the defending champion Astros, I will be texting you, Gabe, and Jen all of my emotions during the opener.
Ashton is...
And you will hate me more.
Like, I could tell you
Ashton's
this, Gabe.
Ashton's a toad,
I could tell
but
you
he's the toad who's like... He's the guy in Major League 2. You ever see the movie Major League 2 where the guy's just yelling about how everything sucks?
Yeah.
Even though everything's going well around him? Like, Ashton's been so scarred by his sports teams that he just is constantly bashing them, even if they might be good.
Yeah. Now, nobody can see me on stream, but yeah, I'm shaking my head.
Honestly, say probably my favorite sports team are the Red Sox.
Yeah.
I won't watch a game this year.
Yeah, they're a bad team.
I won't watch.
bad team. Although,
I'm going to waste my time.
Although,
Gabe is all psyched up now.
Although Yoshida might be better than we thought.
Ribbit.
Gabe, the under-over in Vegas is 78. Where are they going with 78 wins?
Fifth place in the division.
Maybe.
Yeah.
They may finish seventh. I stand by that. Seventh out of four.
I may not watch a game.
Yeah.
I don't believe you.
No.
No, we should, you know what, we should go to a game. They're going to be at AmFam Field this year. We should go to a game together.
What time?
You know, whatever. I think they have a day game in there.
Yeah.
We can do a day game. We can do a night game.
Oh, come on. One game in the suite? You don't have to see anybody?
We have a suite?
Oh my God.
I mean, I don't know if I can swing the suite.
Well,
but
I
we
ain't
can
going.
Stop, Gabe. God, what are you doing?
What do you mean? We're not allowed in the suite?
Well, I don't know if anybody has it that night.
Would you stop? I'm trying to get him to go to the game with you. Yeah, we got a suite. We're going to do it that day.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
Ashton, there was no chance he was ever going to
How
agree.
How do we know if we don't try?
I'm actually surprised we got him to come to the Doc Hounds game we went to last year.
Now,
although,
that is more my speed.
Although, that's like pretty much next door to the lake house.
Yes.
So that's something that he can handle.
It doesn't count.
I mean, he went to a baseball game. He went to a baseball game with us last year.
I believe I had to go.
Yeah.
For sponsors.
Look.
Partners.
I was willing to overlook that part for you. You didn't have to tattle on yourself.
I know.
Trying to give you more credit. Scream at Sicilian I'm Stuffed. Stuffed crust pizza. It's got that artisan crust. Over 2.5 feet of cheese stuffed in the crust. Every cheesy over top slice is going to leave you saying, I'm stuffed. Look, I understand. Maybe you're somebody that during Lent, you're looking for something, but you get like a regular frozen cheese pizza because you can't have meat during Lent. And you're going, man, that's not enough. Well, guess what? If you get the cheese, I'm stuffed crust pizza from Screamin' Sicilian, well, you're going to be stuffed because every slice leaves you saying, I'm stuffed. You can also get it in Supreme, pepperoni, sausage and pepperoni, and of course, that cheese, the artisan stuffed crust, the secret recipe tomato sauce loaded with whole milk mozzarella, and white cheddar, Parmesan, and Romano. Look, you know that Palermo's knows what they're doing when it comes to frozen pizza. And they continue to expand each and every line that they have. And they continue to expand Screamin' Sicilian. So give it a try. Make sure you're next in your local grocery store next time. Look in the freezer section for Screamin' Sicilian. I'm Stuffed Stuffed Crust Pizza from Palermo's, Wisconsin's hometown pizza.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
How much will Angie let you grow a beard?
I would say for 3 months I have to keep a beard if I lose.
Okay, and Angie would allow you to have a beard for 3 months.
She doesn't run my life. Drop that.
Yeah.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Should be celebrating like hard today. Like today might be the day to crack open the Zima. If there is not a day that more encapsulates Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, especially when Jen is gone, it's National Goof Off Day, is it not? That's us. National Goof Off Day.
I feel like we celebrated yesterday pretty hard.
What's What's the different than any other day?
That's what I'm saying. Well, today.
Yeah. We officially get to celebrate it?
That's.
Yeah, we haven't really goofed off yet today.
There's an old Lewis Black bit about drinking in Wisconsin where he's just amazed about how much we drink. And he happened to be here on a New Year's Eve. And he's like, what's any different than about today than any other day? You guys drink so much. Well, but today we drink with hats. We wear hats while we drink. That's how I feel about Goof Off Day for us. Like, well, what's too different about today than any other day? Well, today Chewy's wearing a hat. So we'll goof off while Chewy's wearing a hat.
I was trying to think of stuff for us to goof off about, but like...
That's not how it works.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm not like, forcing it.
You can't plan to goof off. Either it just comes naturally or it does not.
Yeah, but for most people, shouldn't it be on a Friday? Why the hell you want a Goof Off Day on a Wednesday?
You know, to help you get through the week.
We can. Now, this is sort of the... yesterday's show, we did figure out exactly how much the unit weighed that we were discussing yesterday. I thought the remote kit that Chewy was taking with him on his trip weighed 3 pounds. It weighs 10.8. So
yes, you were a little off.
I'm real bad at that, huh?
Which
like I was shocked. Like, you just think you're super strong over there, or what?
I mean,
like,
probably it's got to be that one.
Which is why we have concerns about your cooking. Do you know the difference between a cup and a pint?
I'm going to answer that question with a question. Do you?
No, but I'm
why he
not,
measures.
I know.
Nah, I don't measure. Which is a problem sometimes.
No, not in cook. Well, in cooking, you're safe. Baking, it's not.
You put a little too much wine in the
sauce. No, cooking,
it's not,
because it can get away from you, Ashy. When you start tasting, say, a sauce you made, and it's like, oh, more garlic, and then you put too much garlic in. Oh, I got to level that out. Okay, let's put this
need,
in.
Need a little more acidity.
And then
you
don't know what the hell you have.
Yeah, adding too much garlic will ruin a recipe. I will say that. Look, I love garlic, but you add too much garlic, and then you're like, okay, well, now.
Well, that's like truffle. You add too much truffle to something, and it. I went to a restaurant one time, and it was like a truffle pasta.
I mean, this is
not relatable at all.
No, it's a rich person problem, but yeah. I feel you. I understand what you're saying.
Why, you guys never had truffle?
Well, not on a regular basis.
Maybe once in my life.
I have not had truffle.
Come on.
I have not had truffle to the point where I'm like, yeah, this has too much truffle.
That's a great point. Like, what the hell are you talking about? That's too much truffles here. Like, I don't even know what a little truffle tastes like. What's too much?
You guys are a-holes. You really are.
All right, hit it.
Chewy was right. Holy Chewy was right.
That's too much truffle.
All right, a bad example, okay?
It was a great example. We just can't relate to it.
Yeah. Too much parsley.
I'm sure there's like two or three people driving around that feel, that understand what you're saying.
There are literally dozens of us.
Oh, my God.
But some people are like that with cilantro. Because people think that, you know, too much cilantro, it has a bad taste for them.
Well, it does.
I believe there is something scientifically or anatomically or whatever where some people think cilantro tastes like soap and some can taste the actual, as I like to say, herbiness to it.
Like, what's cilantro going? Doesn't that go into like a scampi?
I think parsley.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But cilantro is more like,
cilantro is more like Latino food.
Mm-hmm.
Is it really?
Yeah. So if
tacos.
A lot of Mexican food, Puerto Rican food, a lot of cilantro goes into the.
But that's bland to begin with.
Cilantro?
No, Mexican food or.
You're eating the wrong.
No. I've had authentic stuff and it's typically bland, which I don't mind because then you just hot sauce it. I'm a big hot sauce guy.
See, I love cumin.
Cumin's
a big.
Yeah.
Cumin's big in that.
What do you put cumin in?
That culturally for cooking. Mexican food, Puerto Rican food.
You know what I'm out on? Curry.
I like curry. I don't have it often, but I like it. It's not for everybody. Like, it's a different taste.
Comes out of your pores, though.
If you get it that spicy, if you get real spicy, it'll kick you.
Okay. You're big on it?
I wouldn't say I'm big on it, but my wife makes enough, you know, stuff with curry flavors.
You can overuse that too, right?
Oh yeah, you can overuse anything.
Well, I don't know about anything.
No, you can definitely.
Ashy?
You can definitely. There is not a spice that exists that. Like, you can definitely have too much of any spice.
What's the most used spice, Ash?
Most used spice? Would you count salt as a spice?
No.
Pepper?
Pepper?
No.
Okay. Cumin.
Probably like a garlic powder.
Ooh, yeah. Again, we're kind of like, for sure, like spiciness, spice, like cumin or pepper to me. Paprika? Paprika's used a lot.
We use a lot of paprika in our house.
I love paprika.
Smoked paprika, regular paprika. We've got it all. There's too much paprika.
Really?
It's expensive, right? And you got to get the smoked, and you got to get the regular, then
you got the sweet.
I think we got to use cinnamon more.
Well, and what?
I don't know. Just use it more.
Tigers don't like cinnamon.
Yeah.
Well,
they like
I know
pepper.
That. But Chewy likes cinnamon. It's good for you, too.
If I hear one more person talk about leverage, I am going to lose my mind.
So we'll talk about that next.
2 minutes, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.